The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should consider obtaining independent advice before making any financial decisions.
This is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Farrow columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. Today we are headed to Jakarta to catch up with Neil Whittaker. Neil is Managing Director of Nusantara Resources, which trades under the code NUS, or November Uniform Sierra, to be sure. It was most recently traded at 32 cents for a market cap of about 65 million on a fully diluted basis. Nusantara is working on becoming a 120,000 ounce a year low-cost gold producer in the early years from its Awak Mas project in Indonesia's South Sulawesi province. First production slotted for around 2022. Annual production over the initial 16-year mine life has been put at 97,000 ounces per annum. A final investment decision on an initial US $156 million development is planned for early next year. Now, we all know gold is all the rage at the moment, and it's fair to say that if Awak Mas, with its reserve base of 1.5 million ounces and sub US $900 an ounce costs, was in the back blocks of Western Australia, the company's market cap would be a multiple of what it is currently. I will ask Neil about that apparent disconnect in a moment and how he sees it unwinding as first production approaches. But first of all, I'm going to welcome him to the podcast. G'day, Neil, and thanks for your time today.
No, it's a pleasure, Barry.
Okay, to start out, Neil, it'd be great if you could give us a bit of a rundown on your professional educational background and how that might have led you to end up with the Nusantara and the Awak Mas opportunity.
No, sure. I'm actually talking to you from Jakarta, where I'm working from home at the moment. But I'm a mining engineer from the UK. I went to college at Leeds University and Imperial College in London. But I'm pretty international these days. My good fortune's been a career with some decent companies, Anglo, WMC, Nickel and Gold, and Newcrest, usually with the same people and often in overseas locations. But for a while, I was with Clough Engineering from Perth, which actually led me to a later life to work over here in Jakarta with both Petrosea and the new owners, Indig Energy, both of whom are now associated with this project. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I've got here. Actually, it's connections with people I know, people I trust, and vice versa.
Yeah. You mentioned you're based in Jakarta at the moment. Obviously, COVID's a big issue around the world. How's Indonesia shaping up?
Well, it's not easy in any part of the world, the COVID experience. We have some good fortune as a project that's still in the front-end engineering stage. So we're somewhere between finishing up a feasibility study and moving into construction next year. So a lot of our work is remote. Some of that's in offices here. Some of that's in offices in Australia with some mine site activity. But, you know, our protocols for managing the pandemic here are really no different from anywhere else. In fact, the medical facilities that we have, I have to say, are pretty good. Our partner, Indig Energy, is well invested in the medical area. They have their own medical facility. So our employees are all fully tested, and we run through the kind of quarantine routines that any Australian stock exchange listed company would go through. So to be quite honest, I've been here for several months. But I am pretty safe, pretty healthy, and our employees are all COVID-free.
Right, great to hear. Now, I mentioned earlier that if the project was in WA, the company's market cap would likely be a multiple of where it is today. Why does that discount exist, and what needs to occur for it to be unwound, do you think?
Well, I think so. I think there is an inevitable discount for a project that's in Indonesia. But I think you have to look at it this way. What Nusantara has been able to do in less than 3 years has been to take an uncertain project of Awat Mas in southeast Sulawesi, and today is presenting a project with very attractive economics at a time when the gold market is booming, as you know. We are undervalued today, but as we move through to a decision to mine in early next year, I think we can anticipate a re-rating of the share price. And I say that not just for my own personal conviction, but we have used an analyst, MST, out of Sydney, who have rated our share price at a double what it is on the market today.
So for a junior company, New Centara has some strong names on the share register: Indica with 23%, Lion Selection with 22%, and Australian Super 14%. Of the three, Indica is also becoming a 40% project partner. Tell us a bit about Indica and the importance you place on having a strong Indonesian partner in the project.
Our people and our partners are most important. And I think a game changer in Nusantara strategy has been the engagement with Indica Energy, as you suggest. Indica Energy are a billion-dollar-plus diversified energy company. They're particularly skilled at partnering, and they do this with partners with technical capabilities. And in return, they bring strong relationships with the regulatory bodies over here who, you know, support the permitting and the relationships that are really fundamental to deliver a project. And as you've already said, they also bring in commitment in equity to the table of some $40 million together with their subsidiary Petrosi, who are bringing another $40 million in deferred loan payments. So they are seriously hooked into the project.
Good. Okay. You mentioned earlier you were no stranger to Indonesia, given starting out there with Clough about 10 years ago. I was just wondering, what changes have you seen in Indonesia since, and the free trade agreement signed recently with Australia, what might that mean for the project?
Indonesia has certainly changed. That was last year in 2010, and it's not recognisable. The economy has been booming, and I think the World Bank have rated Indonesian economy now from being a lower middle income economy to an upper middle income economy. And in Southeast Asia, the growth here is racing ahead of anywhere else. And to your point, you know, the two large economies here of Australia and Indonesia through the trade agreement is really cementing a commitment to each other. And what I see on this side of the fence over here in Indonesia is a much improved regulatory and fiscal regime. The mines department are doing their utmost to support investment in Indonesia. And you only have to look at Nickel Mines Australia, also in Sulawesi, just to see how determined the government are to illustrate their commitment to Australian investment.
And that is all, I guess, strengthened nowadays with the free trade agreement being in place?
Well, it does. And I have to say, we've already been in touch with the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. In fact, they've been in touch with me and the team to actually offer their support in any way that the Australian Embassy can. And I have to say, having worked overseas with Newcrest previously, you know, I've always enjoyed tremendous support from DFAT, and right now, today, in Indonesia, the trade agreement is a huge statement of Australia's commitment to partner and invest here.
Right. I guess we better have a look at the project. We've talked about it.
But the people matter. The people and the partners are fundamental, I think. If you're taking, as an Australian company, Barry, I think the Nusantara have been very smart. I came in here September, I arrived in Jakarta last year, and that was part of a strategy to step into the country. together with partner Indica Energy. We have a project office now open here in Jakarta. And, you know, this is now our center of gravity to deliver the project, which I think you're going to ask me some questions about, yeah?
Right, yeah. You had the June update of the DFS. What were the key findings? Well, what were the enhancements, I guess, from the original DFS? And what does it tell us in terms of, you know, first production, production costs, that sort of stuff?
Since the 2018 DFS, Nusson Tara has come a long way in improving the project economics. And we've done that through three things, Barry. We've improved the ounces through exploration. Nusson Tara has added 600,000 ounces since acquiring the property originally in 2017. In the last year, we've added another 350,000 ounces. And that, you know, that takes our resources in our April statement to 2.35 million ounces. Our reserves through improved mine planning and optimization, as announced in June, now sit at over 1.5 million ounces. So, you know, we have a respectable entry level gold mine in terms of resources and reserves. We've already talked about the people. You know, we have the geological asset, we have the people, and in June we've also announced an update from our on a new financial model, and that's showing, you know, a valuation now with an NPV of over 500 million and a payback of less than 2 years. So, you know, this is really destined to be the next gold mine in Indonesia.
Right. Okay. Might be getting ahead of things here, but I was wondering, what about the embedded optionality in the project? I'm talking about, you know, the prospects for increasing reserves, the expansion of the initial project, and what you see as the untapped potential in terms of the overall scale of the resource, perhaps?
I think you have to start at the mining lease, which over here is a contract of work. That has a tenure for us of 33 years. And we're just in the first 3 years of construction. We have 10 years available to Nusson Tara before we need to, there's any obligatory divestment to, you know, a less than 50% interest. We've only explored, probably ourselves and predecessors have touched about 60% of a, you know, 14,000 hectare lease. Probably only half of that's been seriously explored. So, you know, we're confident from the work we've done to date in exploration that there's a 5 million ounce plus field on our contracted work. The success we've had in exploration to date has actually been to extend our mass main deposit in depth, and what it's generating is a bigger mine. But we actually, across the lease and near mine, you know, within trucking distance of our proposed processing plant, we have a number of near surface targets. So, in the balance of this year, we're actually going to be exploring at a high grade satellite of Salabulo, and we're also looking at between the two mines, you know, less than a kilometer from the mill, at a location called Puncakatara, where there is surface outcrop. And a number of trenches that have high gold values. So we have actually the opportunity to improve the current plan with better grade near mine discovery. The other point you raised was the optionality of expansion. The combination of discovery, the improved reserves and mine planning, and gold price, which obviously does make a difference, is leading to a bigger, long-life, low-cost mine, as you point out. And I suppose if we're the victims of our success, then we need to consider the opportunity for expansion and a bigger processing plant. It's not usually smart to start reopening study discussions, you know, when you're in a moving into an engineering and execution phase, but we will look at the option to expand at a later date. So what we're looking at is actually future-proofing, the ability to expand once we're in production and we have a revenue stream.
Right, okay. Now, just as a matter of interest, how does it work in Indonesia compared with Australia? If Arak Mas was in Australia, you'd be surrounded by competitors taking up open ground. How does it work in Indonesia? Do you have all the upside in terms of the exploration grounds that you're interested in, or are there competitors in the neighbourhood there?
Our lease is 100% owned by Nusantara and our partner here in Arak Mas, Indika Energy. So we have more than enough tenements for exploration to meet our needs for a mine of many, many years. If our interpretation is correct, and we think it is from the drilling results that we've been seeing over the last couple of years, there's potential for, you know, there's obviously a deep-seated intrusive feature in this deposit that overlays the sedimentary disseminated mineralization. And we can see that in the magnetic resistivity. We can see that in copper values at surface. And all of this points to a similar mineralization to that you see at Cadia Valley of a deeper seated copper porphyry with the kind of the gold mineralization that we're currently seeing near the surface. Now, I'm not suggesting that we're going to put a deep hole down to test the area, but everything is suggesting that we have our geologist, Colin McMillan, from his background with Newcrest in particular, has a very good handle on the geology at this site.
Right, so plenty of potential upside there from the existing project, which I was just going to ask, the CapEx, how's that to be funded?
Well, at the moment, we're fully funded for this year with a $30 million budget. That funding comes from a $40 million equity position from Indika Energy, our partner here in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. $40 million comes from their subsidiary Petrosi in a deferred loan arrangement. And another $10 million commitment is coming from Nusantara. So right now today, we have $90 million US dollars, which will take us through this year and into early construction next year. As we said, I've actually just come off a finance meeting where we're actively progressing solutions for debt finance for the balance of the funds that we need to complete the construction.
And given the robust economics, the equity in place and the profile of the project, debt financing, I'm not going to say it should be a snack, but challenging.
I think it's fair to say that the project economics speak for themselves, as we've published. But the project is attractive to both investors with a currently undervalued price, but it has, with the risk mitigation I think we put in place in partnering in country and the skills we bring to the project, we're certainly attracting lenders as well. So I don't see financing at this stage. It's not an easy process. And, there's a number of options. We're using a debt advisor out of Sydney to help us through the process. But we're racing through this year, as I say, fully funded to deliver a decision to mine in early next year. And this is the exciting part. If you look today, Barry, and I'm sure you have, the gold price today is a new 8-year high at $80.58 US dollars an ounce. And for the quarter, it's a record, and I think the highest price was, $1,917 an ounce in November 2011. But there's money flowing into gold. And as you rightly say, some of that will go into Australia. You could invest in Newmont and Barrick with some certainty of a return at the moment, because gold is definitely providing a hedge against some malaise in the general equity markets. But Nusantara provides an opportunity, I guess, for a bigger return at this stage in the project development.
Okay, then we've got the final investment decision early next year. But I was wondering what we can you'll be able to tell investors to look out for in terms of news flow for the rest of this calendar year.
Well, Barry, I like to think we have a record of meeting our promises. So the first half of this year, we've kicked the ball uphill. We've stepped up with resources, reserves, and latest economics. Through the latter half of this year, I don't see the pace changing at all. We will complete a detailed front-end engineering design contract with our partners Petrosi, which is designed to add value. We are drilling on the site to close down the drill spacing to provide a better level of confidence for the first few years of production. And towards the end of the year, we will update our resources and reserves yet again. So, you know, I see the second half of this year as being positive in terms of delivering better project economics. It's an exciting time.
Certainly is. Okay, Neil. Well, thanks for the rundown on the project and your insights into Indonesia. We're all glad here that things are going well there in terms of the COVID situation. So we'll wrap that up now and say thanks very much for your time and best wishes.
That's great to talk to you. Thank you, Barry.